Okay, today's daf is Yud-Zayim Aleph. The Gemara on the top, four lines down, says, Ki Amrisa Kami D'Shmuel. So the Gemara went on a bit of a tangent, and now returning back to something we mentioned earlier, Gemara mentioned that Rav Asi was of the opinion that if a guy were to marry a Bas Yisrael, Bizman Hazeh, there is Choshen L'Kedushin. We're concerned that perhaps this guy came from the Seres HaShvatim. That was the opinion of Rav Asi. So when they said this in front of Shmuel, so they says to so Shmuel says back to them, "Bincha ba Yisra min Yisraelis kai bincha, vein bincha ba min havodis chachavim kai bincha el bina." So it says depends who the mother is. If the mother is a Jew, so then the child's going to be your son. But if the mother is going to be a non-Jew, so then it won't be your son. It's going to be her son. It's going to be not going to be Jewish. So the Gemara says, so therefore what? So you look at Rashi. Rashi writes, this is four lines from the top, Ki Amrisa Kameh de Shmuel, but when they said this in front of Shmuel, Ad Hashta Milsa de Rav Yehuda, we'll skip the parentheses there, the Kamar Ki Hader Amrisa Laha de Rav Asi Kameh de Shmuel, de Choshen L'Kedushin, okay, just telling us, referring back to that discussion. So it says Rashi, Amar Bincha Habab Misraelis Kari Bincha, Vein Bincha Habab Min Avod Yisrachavim Kari Bincha El Bina. So your son that comes from a Jewish mother would be considered your son, but comes from a non-Jewish mother would not be considered your son. Says Rashi, explains, Dinafkalan michi yasir es bitcha me'acharai. V'lo, sorry?
Bincha.
Huh? Bincha me'acharai. V'lo ksiv ki sasir es bincha. So it says yasir versus ki sasir. What does that mean, says Rashi? Alma lav abito lo sikach levincha ma'ader. Dim kein haya lo lomar ki havudis chachavim tasir. Shmamina di nami yoledis ben lavodis chavim lo bincha mikri v'lo karina be kisasir bincha hokach ovdich chavim gemurmeim. So Rashi proves from here that the pasuk says ki yasir bincha me'acharai. Somehow is proving the fact that it says yasir versus tasir. That tells us that's referring to a Jewish mother, not a non-Jewish mother. Okay, therefore what? So what's the Gemara telling us here? So we're saying, therefore, so our case is talking about a Bas Yisrael who is marrying a goy. So what's this proving to us here? Shmuel is referring to a situation of the mother being non-Jewish. Our case was where the father wasn't Jewish. So how does this relate to what we're talking about? Rashi doesn't really explain to us how this connects. Let's see. It's possible he's not addressing the question head on. So the Gemara asks now, let's see. V'ha'ika banos, don't we have the daughters? Which Rashi explains, V'ha'ika banos shenishbu v'nosim ovdi chachavim v'holidu mehem. Don't we have certain women, v'nos Yisrael, that were held in captivity, and they ended up marrying Goyim, and then they had children? So we see from there, so that's going to be a situation where the children will be Jewish. So that's the concern. That's the point. Let's say these men who went there to these cities were Aseres HaShvatim. Let's say they were. So if they married non-Jewish women, at the end of the day, the children are going to be non-Jewish. So, okay, maybe many generations ago, the Aseres HaShvatim went there. But there's going to be a lot of intermarriage, and inevitably they're going to be marrying non-Jewish women, so the children are all going to be non-Jewish. So why is there a concern that there are still going to be some Jews left over in these cities? So the Gemara says, but aren't there going to be some Bnos Yisrael who are held in captivity and they're going to marry some of the Jews and they're going to produce Jewish children? So there still should be a concern.
Just to make sure I remember correctly,
mm-hmm.
Is that a continuation of the discussion that we spoke about those cities?
Yeah, exactly.
And it came from one of those cities, why the cities was brought up?
So the Aseres HaShvatim, there are 10 tribes that were sent to Gullus. And these 10 tribes were in these different cities in India. I don't know exactly where they are.
No, but why did they mention those cities?
And why did it come up?
Yeah.
I forget exactly the flow.
Continuation. Yeah, what the flow exactly. We're discussing it now.
I think we're just going through a number of statements. Let's see where we go here.
Unrelated?
I think we had mentioned one of the cities about Amon Moav. I think it's based on a pasuk in Eicha. We were talking about pasuk in Eicha. Based on a pasuk in Eicha, we ended up mentioning some of these cities that Aseres HaShvatim had been exiled to. So the Gemara explains now. So therefore, there is to be concerned that maybe some of the children left behind, some of the children, even generations later, might be of Jewish descent. So the Gemara says that's the question according to Shmuel. So says the Gemara, Amar Ravina. So did I skip a line here? Where we go? Amar Ravina, Shma Mina, Ben Bitcha, Haba, Mina Ovi Kachavim, Kar Bincha. So, and we see from here that this is a halacha. I'm not sure if the Shma Mina should be there or not, but it might be taken out. Let's see. Yeah, it's not there. Ravina just adds, and by the way, a ben mincha, a grandson who comes from your daughter, will be considered, your bincha will still be considered Jewish. So that's part of the concern. We should still be concerned that even though it's generations later, it's possible that there's a Jewish mother there, a Jewish wife, who married one of the Jewish men and then produced a Jewish child. So that says the Gemara, Gemiri, we have the following Masara, fascinating Masara here. Dibansa de'ahu dara itsturia itstura. The children, the women of that generation, itsturia itstaru, which Rashi explained is de'ahu dara. Rashi lower down on the daf, de'ahu dara means da'aser sashvatim, the generation of the aser sashvatim. Itsturia itstaru nivka rachman miliklo zera v'nasu akaros. That their womb was ripped open, and it was unable to hold on to zera, wasn't able to have children. Fascinating. So we know any Jewish women that were sent there were not able to have children, so there's no concern of Jewish children coming out of these cities, and they're only non-Jewish. And therefore, there's no concern, according to Shmuel, of there being Jewish children. Ikadami, others have a different version of how this story went. Ki Amri Salakami to Shmuel, when they said in front of Shmuel the following halacha, that anyone who marries a non-Jew from any of those cities that the 10 Shvatim have been exiled to, there's a concern that it's a good marriage because maybe they're Jewish. So what was Shmuel's response? Amalei, lo zazu misham ad sha'asa'um, ovdei kachavim gemurim. So Shmuel says, when the Asar Shvatim were exiled, they did not move, meaning Bezdin of that generation made them into ovdei kachavim gemurim, shenemar, ba'ashem bagdu, ki banim zarim yaldu. Like, since you guys bugged you rebelled against Hashem, your children, your kibbutzim, zarim, yaldu, they're going to be zarim, they'll be non-Jewish. So two different answers as to the Asar HaShvatim. First answer was they were Jewish, but they just weren't able to have children. Second answer is when they left, somehow Basin had the authority to uproot their Kedushas Yisrael, and they weren't Jewish anymore.
According to the second answer, so Shmuel conceding the fact that if you have a Goyish mother and a Jewish father that could theoretically create a Jew? Because wasn't that the Hanukkah of Rabbi Yehuda, that the fact the father's Jewish, that's enough to create Judaism by the children? And the response was no, it was by the mother, and then there was but there's still a mother concern, and so there's no mother concern. Second answer, it sounds like he's conceding, no. Okay, so Goyish Jewish father could be enough to create Jew, but just they're not even fathers.
Yeah, much of the second answer is addressing who the father and mother is. The whole concern was only the Gemara here is assuming the mother is if the mother's Jewish then the child's Jewish, and the second answer is simply saying that even the mother is not being Jewish anymore.
Oh, this is a second answer on just this last point.
Yeah, the status of the
Haika Banos.
Right.
That it was going all the way back on the initial statement that was stated in front of Shmuel.
Yeah, no, it was. This is, oh, I see what you're saying. No, I think this is going back in Banos. That's how I read it. Am I wrong about that? Let's see. I didn't say, but I hear what you're saying.
It says, when כשאמרתי דברי אס את דברי רב אס לפני שבועים של לפני שמואל.
Right, I guess Adam's pointing out, are we saying this that the women have lost the status of being going, or even the men, and that's assuming that the men goes by the men themselves that they're Jewish were to hear. Very good. I'm not sure. Rashi does not say anything. Okay, I hear your point. Maybe the way you're reading, maybe it sounds like what you're saying that the men we're not Jewish. Who cares if men weren't Jewish? It all depends on the mother. Maybe there's something very good. I don't see anything addressed back here about that, though. Now, in terms of this idea, which is just a fascinating idea, that Basin could say, you are no longer Jewish anymore. So the Ritva writes that this is only true for that generation. Let's say a ger, he was once a goy and he converted and then he went back to Christianity, Islam, whatever it might be, says the Ritva that we're not able to uproot his Yiddishkeit once you became Jewish. You're Jewish forever. That was a special exception that was made. The Be'iri says no, that if a someone, I'm not sure he's referring
what
to
is a special exception.
This Aser Hashvatim, the case of the Aser Hashvatim, that was the only situation where Basin had the authority and they actually did uproot their Kedushas Yisrael. Never any other time in history were they able to do that. The Miri writes, however, that if a Jew does become assimilated, his Kedushin is not a good Kedushin. He loses the Kedushas Yisrael somehow on its own, and he argues in the Ritva. Even Mizban is there, we have such a concept.
But he's still a Jew. Forever.
So the Miri seems to say, if they look into the Miri further, but just very face value, it sounds like he might lose his Kedushas Yisrael. Or maybe maybe he might lose it. The Karen Ora says, only with regards to Kedushin does he lose the ability to get married, but he's still a Jew, like you said. So it seems to be a debate how to understand Bizman Hazeh, how it works. Bizman Hazeh, says Shvatim, that was that they had ability to uproot it. The question, the debate is, Bizman Hazeh, do they have any ability to uproot anything or not? Okay. So then the Gemara continues and says, Yosef of Yosef Achorei de Rav Kana. Rav Yosef was sitting behind Rav Kana. V'yosef Rav Kana kamei de Rav Yehuda. Rav Kana was sitting in front of Rav Yehuda. V'yosef v'kamer, and they're sitting down and saying the following: Asidin Yisrael de'avdei yomei tova. In the future, Klai is going to make a great yomtif ki charvu tamut, when tarmut is going to be destroyed. Why? What's the great celebration? So Rashi explains yomei tova. It's a little further down. Mishum de'mamzerim him u'mitamim b'Yisrael posin osam. So as we saw in yesterday's daf, there was a lot of issues going on in the city of Tarmod, and they married Mamzerim there, and they kept on intermarrying with other Jews, and it would create more psulin. Mamzer is Jewish, but it's going to create a lot of problems of yichus within Klai Yisrael. So they're very, very, in Las Lavo, when the city will be destroyed, there's going to be a great yomtif in Klai Yisrael. So, v'hacharev, so what do you mean, it already was destroyed? What are you talking about, Las Lavo? Hahu Tamod, without the resh, Hahu Tamod, that was a different city. Tamod was destroyed, we're talking about Tarmod. Ravashi Amar, no, Hainu Tarmod, Hainu Tarmod, same exact place. So if it was already destroyed, what's the excitement? What's going to be in Las Lavo? So he says, Achpule Hudim Mechpal. Achpule, Rashi explains, Achpule Ichpal, it's Kishet Charva Mikan, Nichpola Vinivnes Mikan. When they destroyed this part of the city, they rebuilt the other end of the city. You kept going back and forth. You were never able to completely have the city destroyed. Gemara explains, Char Mehagisa, Osim Mehagisa. They destroyed that, the eastern part of the city, so they started building on the western part. Vichar Mehagisa, Osim Mehagisa, and it happened the western part, they went in the eastern part of the city. So it wasn't yet destroyed. So Yosef Rav Hamnuna Kame de Ula. Rav Hamnuna was once sitting in front of Ula. But Kohavi Mishmaisa, so he was, I guess, they were learning. Rashi's asking questions. Amar Magavra Magavra. So who is this person? Ula says, Ilab de Harfanya Measya. So if he did not come from the place of Harfanya, which is a place Rashi tells Einam Yuchas. I guess he wasn't familiar with who Rav Hamnuna was. Rav Hamnuna was asking all these questions. I said, who is this person? I never heard of him before. He came from a place of Harfanya. Has no Yichas. So Amar Lasa Achsef. So Rav Hamnuna got a little bit embarrassed. Amar Le Kesef Gilglasa Lehecha Yafas. So how was that line meant to be understood as? So at which city do you pay your mas, your taxes to? Samar le Pumnahara, I give to the city. That's in the river, the mouth of the river. Amar le Ula says, Imkain Mupumnarat. So then you are from Pumnara, you're not from Harfanya. I apologize for I guess embarrassing you for saying you're from this place of no yichus. So then Gemara asks, my Harfanya, what is the name of the city Harfanya? What does it even mean? As we know, in Panemia, certainly, every name of a person, name of a city has some deeper meaning. So Gemara wants to know, what's the deeper meaning? Why is a place called Harpanya? So Amar Bezerah. Bezerah tells us that the Rashi Tevos are, or at least somewhat, Har Sheha Kol Ponimbo, a mountain, Har, Panya, that people always go to. So what does that mean, everyone goes to there? So does Rashi explain here? Rashi says, "Shakol ponim sham, kol psulim shein motzin aisha ponim v'holchan sham." It's like an area that no one can find and get married because they have no yichus. No one wants to marry someone without yichus, so they go to this place. Everyone hangs out there. That's what Harfanya is. So, Masnisa Tana Kol she'ein makir mishpachto v'shivto niflasham. A similar idea that anybody who doesn't know where, which family they come from, and they don't know their yichus, what shevet they come from, they just go to this area of all the psulim hanging out in this city. So Amar Rav v'hi amuka mishol. It's actually deeper than shol. Shol is one of the, I think there are 10 or 7 or 10 different names of Gehenim. So one of them is shol or Sheol. So this place of Harfan is deeper than Sheol. Not literally deeper, but in terms of spiritually. Shenemar, miyad Sheol afdem, mimavis egalem. From Sheol, this place of the depth of Gehenim, I will redeem them, and mimavis from death, I will redeem them as well. V'ilu psul didei les leitakanta. But when it comes to the psulim, there's no redemption. Once a person's a mamzer, the Mishnah Chagiga tells us that it's impossible to ever redeem them. So they're deeper and rooted in their spirituality, or a tumah, I should say, than that of Gehenim. Mara says, Psule de Harfanya, the psulim that are found in Harfanya, this har of Parnia, Mishum Psule de Mishin, are really originated from another area, the psulim that originated in Mishon. Apparently, Rashi tells him Mishon is very close to Harfanya. And then Psule de Mishon, the people who are the psulim of Mishon originated in Mishum the Psule de Tarmod, came from Tarmod, which we've been speaking about. And Psule de Tarmod, Mishum Abde Shlomo. They originated from the Abde Shlomo, which goes back to yesterday's daf, that these were the women who married the servants of Shlomo who had produced these mamzerim.
So
started from Shlomo. Shlomo to Tarmod to Mishon to eventually Harfanya. Behind Dominchi, this is what people would say. They had, this adage that used to be said, Kava Rabba Vakaba Zuta, a big kav and a small kav, Megindar, Vazal Lashal, Mishal Tarmon, Mitarmon Lemation, Mishon Lacharfanya. That's the whole statement, I guess. That's quite a long statement. I can't imagine that's a whole statement. Maybe it is. So what does it mean, Kavaraba Kavazuta? So Rashi explains in the bottom here, last Rashi before the parak ends, he says, Kavaraba Kavazuta, Eifa Gedola, a large measure, Veifa Ketana, a smaller measure, Shem Avu Mavsim. They're both, Movatim. They're both messed up. Klomar, Kol Psulim, Misgalgalim, V'yordim L'shol. All the psulim are going to continue to move down to l'shal, the deep place. Umishal l'tarmod, klomar sheshal gavo mitarmod. Shal was, which is a reference to the Gehenim, is higher up than tarmod. Umiskagel mishal l'tarmod, time of kedileil deilu liyar the Gehenim ika takanta, because those who go to Gehenim have a way to fix. Ulepsol didu ain't tara. So okay, I'm not getting the Amri Incha here, but this is the idea basically that Tarmod and these psulim are deeper rooted in their tuma than that of Gehenim. Hadron lach chamisha shrei nashim. We don't want to be from this place, correct?
Okay. Where did we just have Promnara?
We saw it elsewhere. Oh, we did see Promnara in an earlier daf.
The last couple of blocks.
Yeah. Okay, now we begin the new parak, second parak. Not bad. We're more than that. A seventh of the way through, I guess.
It gets easier for me.
Right. It does get easier, actually. I think the second pack may be a little challenging.
We are what?
Like a seventh of the way through. Does that make sense? How many daf? One seventh.
One seventh?
Of the way through.
Yeah, but no, there's three halakim to this.
Yeah, so you're almost done. Actually, I think we're almost done with that one.
Halfway through that one.
This is lament A.
So one sixth then? Is that off?
Design. It's half of this.
Right, so I have 1/7. You said 1/6.
1/7. He said Sheva Seriot. Okay, it's different. Yeah. Yeah, you're going to get that point. Not.
Such an action right here. Okay. Says the new parak, the new Mishnah. Kate said, Ashes Achiv Shelo Haya Bolamo. So we mentioned the first mission of the Masechta that if a brother who is not in the world at the same time as his older brother who had died, so he cannot perform Yibum with his brother's wife because they were not in this world. We'll see why, what the source is, at the same time. So Gemara wants to know, Mishnah wants to know, Keita, what's the situation of Isha's Achiv, the wife of a brother, Shlo Haya Bolamo, of the other brother? So Shnei Achim, they're two brothers, Umeis Echamehem, two brothers were both alive, and the older brother dies. V'nolad lehen ach, and then a third brother is born after the death of the first brother. And then achagach, after the third brother is born, yavam hasheni es eshes achiv. The second brother, who had been alive at the time of the death of his older brother, That second one marries the wife of his brother, the Yavam, the Yavama. And now Mace, now that second brother also dies. Harishona, Yota Mishim Eshes Achiv Shalah Yabalama. The Rishona, meaning the initial wife of Reuven, let's say Reuven, Shimon, Levi. So Reuven died first, and then his wife is left over. Levi's born. Shimon, after Levi's born, Shimon marries the wife of Reuven. Shimon now dies. So Levi can't marry Reuven's wife, because Rishona Yotza Mishim Eshes Achiv Shalah Yabalama. He was not in the world at the same time as his older brother Reuven, so he can't marry that. Vashnia Mishim Tsarasa. And now Shimon's wife, who let's say was in the world at the same time as Levi, he can't marry because she's a tsara of Reuven's wife, who now is now married by Shimon. So that's what that exempts both those. That's the situation. Now let's say Asaba Mamar Umes. So let's say, and something called Mamar, the Gemara doesn't explain just yet what that was, but Mamar is a Kedushin. Normally a person engages a wife, a woman, but let's say there's a Zakuk, a Zika to a Yavma Yavama. So we have Shimon, Reuven dies, and Shimon has a Zika to Reuven's wife, but nothing, no Yibum or Chalitz was done yet. He does something called a Mamar, which is a way of solidifying the relationship without doing Yibum just yet. It's a Dirabanam. There's a stronger connection there, but it's not a complete connection. So Shimon does Mamar to the Reuven's wife, the widow. And then Mace, then Shimon dies before actually performing Yibum. So Shnia Choletzes Vlo Misav Emes. So Rishona, which is the first wife of Reuven, who's now married to Shimon, that Levi does not do Yibum with Rishona because they were not in the world at the same time. But it's not going to exempt Shimon's wife, who's the Tzara of the Rishona, the Tzara, because Shimon was never actually married yet. He didn't finish the marriage yet with Reuven's widow. So, but at the same time, look at Rashi. You should be able to do Yibum. Levi should be able to do Yibum with Shimon's wife. Why is he forced into doing Chalitza? So it says Rashi all the way at the bottom, two lines up, Shnia Choletes, V'lo Miftura Mishum Tzaras Erva. She's not exempt from being the Tzara of an Erva. Delav Tzaras Amamashi. It's not a real Tzara because Shimon never completed the Yibum with the Reuven's wife. V'lo Misyav Emes either. You can't do Yibum though. Why? Demamer Kone Miktas. Because when Shimon performed Mamer with Reuven's wife, it's Kone a little bit, V'havi Tzaras Erva B'miktas Midrabanam.
The Mamer is a love, no?
Mamer is a love.
Meaning that Kiddushin is over on a love.
Right, so Mamer is only a Kiddushin. It's only Kiddushin Midrabanan. The Chum allowed them to do this. I'm not sure why, but let's say he was busy. He didn't have a chance. Let's say there are a number of brothers. And Shimon wanted to marry Reuven's wife. He wanted to do Yibum. But he wasn't available to perform Yibum yet. He was overseas. So let's say he pointed a Shliach. I assume Shlichus works. To point Mamer, which is a way of solidifying it. She's mine, but nothing's complete yet. So he's partially married on a Dirban level, but Dirban level allows all the other brothers to not be involved anymore.
But is that marriage? Is it love?
Because
based on the Zika is not allowed because he wasn't in the world. Why the first one?
No. Shimon. Before Levi, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven dies. Shimon performs Mamer with the wife.
Oh, okay.
So now Shimon is partially married to the wife. Partially. Yeah. So since he's partially married, and then he dies, the other wife of Shimon, Levi can't marry her. He really can deraisa because there's no relationship between Shimon and the wife. He only did Mamer. Mamer is nothing at the deraisa level. But since it looks like something was done, it would be inappropriate for Levi to marry the tsara of the wife.
With this kind of a zika. So the Mamer is even stronger if he did some kind of action. Rather than Zika, because Zika is automatic, you said.
So Zika, we'll see later on, very good, on the Amud Beis, we'll get into Zika. But even with Zika, there's a connection. If Shimon dies before performing Yibum, the Zika is disconnected, and then it doesn't affect Shimon's real lives. Again, if, let's say, Reuven dies.
Okay, let's continue.
All right. You seem like you're understanding it, so. But okay, if you don't want to discuss further, we don't have to. So the Gemara says, that's the Mishnah. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Man the Tani Rishona, lo mishabish. Man the Tani Shnia lo mishabish. The one who has the gears of the Mishnah Rishona, and the one who has the gears of Shnia, neither one is mistaken. They both make sense. So let's look at Rashi. What are we referring to? Which wife? It's a little confusing, all the names. So Rashi says at the bottom line of the page, Man the Tani Rishona, Man the Kari Levi Rishona, Lahach Shenaflo Lefnei Levi, Shnei Pamim, Lefnei Levi, Shnei Pamim, lo mishabish. When the Kari Leishniya Lo Mishabish, which woman are we referring to? the one that falls to Levi twice is not mistaken. So which one are they referring to? This is the initial wife of Reuven. Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven dies, he has this wife, we'll call her Rishona. And then Levi performs Ibum with her. And then, Shimon performs Ibum with Rishona, we're calling her now. Then Shimon dies, and then Rishona falls in front of Levi. Levi can't perform Ibum because they were not in the same world as Reuven and Levi at the same time. But she's Rishona. That woman, it makes sense for those who call her Rishona, and makes sense to the ones who refer to her as a Shinia. Why? So the Gemara explains. Man the Tani Rishona, the one who refers to this wife who initially was married to Reuven as Rishona, lo mishtabesh, is not mistaken. Why? My Rishona, what does Rishona mean? Rishona Linafila. She was the first one to fall because she was the first one after Reuven died. She was the Rishona. Uman the Tani Shnia, the one who refers to as a Shnia, lo mishtabesh, is not mistaken either. My Shnia, what does it mean Shnia? Shnia Linasuin. She was the second one to marriage. Rashi explains, Shnia Linasuin. The Nisuin Shel Sheni, she was the second one to marry Shimon. Shehu Haya Nasa Kfar Ha'acharish Kshenafla Zos Lefanov. Shimon was already married to a woman. So when Levi died and Shimon performed Yibum with his widow, that was Shimon's second wife. That was his Shnia. That's why we call her Shnia. So the Gemara says, Milo Askinan Diyavon V'Chakach Kanas. So hey, maybe we're talking about another case. Maybe we're really referring to, maybe Shimon first performed Yibum with Reuven's wife and then got married to another wife. Who said it has to be in the order that he had a marriage beforehand? It's not necessary. Ela mai shnia, what shnia mean? Shnia binisuin. What shnia binisuin means? Rashi says, Ela shnia binisuin, shenise shnei pamim achas leba achas leyavam. She got married twice. She got married to Reuven, and when Reuven died, she performed Yibum with Shimon, so that's a second marriage. Interesting. I'm not that familiar with all Yivamos, but it sounds like we refer to Yibum as Nisuin. I know Yibum does accomplish. It accomplished what a Ishus would be. Do we necessarily refer to it as a Mais Nisuin? I'm not sure. This Gemara seems to indicate it is a Mais Nisuin. It might not be a Chiddush at all. I have no idea. Just pointing that out. Okay. Fine. It says the Gemara now. Ishus Achiv Shelah Haya Balamo Heicha Ksiva. Whoever says that both Reuven and Levi would have to be in the world at the same time for Yibum to take place. Who says it's relevant? All we know right now is as long as they're brothers. So what's the source that they are pater, that Levi is not allowed to perform Yibum on Reuven's wife? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Kra. The Pasuk tells us, this is Pasuk, I'll read the whole Pasuk on the side here. It says, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtav, when brothers are sitting together, Umeis Echad Mehem, and one of them died. I'm just reading the whole Pasuk. Uben Ein Lo, and he has no son. Lo Sia Tia Isha Isha Zameis Hachuta Lijar Yivama Yevolel Lekacha Lo Isha Yivma. So the brother should marry the widow. So now Gemara's Medaik, Ki Yashu Achim Yachtav Shehayisal Lahem Yeshiva Achaz Be'olam, that they should be sitting together. It says Yachtav, together. They should be, the brothers should be together in this world. Probably Eishes Achiv Shlohaya Be'olamo, to exclude the two brothers that were not living in the world together at the same time. So then the Gemara says, what's the lashon of Yachtav, together? Yuchadim Benachla, that they are singular, they are unique, I guess. They're together to inherit, pral achim min ha'im, to exclude brothers from a mother. So brothers from a mother do not inherit. There's a whole discussion in the Psukim and the Gemara's in Baba Basra about the whole order of Yerusha, how it works. So the first one who always gets Yerusha is a son. A person dies, his son is first. If there's no son, then a daughter. If there's no daughter, a father gets. If there's no father, then the brothers get. So the brothers only get if they share the same father, if they're by the same father, but if they have the same...
It's not his brother, it's his uncle? Achiv minayim?
No.
The brother of the mother, who's the brother?
We're talking about the brother who performs Yibum. The Reuven dies, his brother Shimon performs. Okay. But it's only a brother Shimon who share the same father. But let's say they only share the same mother, but have different fathers, they would not perform Yibum. Why? The Pasuk says, Miuchadim was Yuchadim, Yachtav, it means Miuchadim Lenachla, that they're together in terms of inheriting. So only brothers who share a father will inherit together from the father. But let's say they have different fathers, but the same mother, they would not ever inherit from each other. Nachla does not pass through the mother, it only passes through the father. That tells us, Prat L'Achiv Minayim, to exclude a brother who's only half-brother from the mother, that will not, he's not someone who's allowed to perform Yibum. There's a lot of connections of Yibum and Nachla there. I think the Drasha Gemara Babasa says that a Yibum is like a Bechor. So Yibum takes double portion. I think, let's say the Bechor Reuven dies and the Shimon steps in his place, in Yibam, I think Shimon also gets double portion like Reuven would have, I think. Okay. Gemara says now another raya, another source for this idea of Achim min Av, that has to be a brother from the father. Rabba Amar Achim min Av, Yalef, he learns it out from Achua, Achua mibnei Yaakov. There's a gzer shava. It says Achua, as we saw above, Achim, and it also says Achua by Yaakov Avinu. It says Ki Yashu Achim, Shnei Masar Achim bnei Avinu. We're all 12 brothers. When the brothers went down to Yosef, they didn't yet know it was Yosef. They said we're 12 brothers, all from the same father. So it says Achim there also. And there explicitly it says Achim min Ha'av, but we have different mothers, but we all have the same father. So we're 12 brothers mitad a father. So says the Gemara, Mala Halan, just like there by Bnei Yaakov, min Ha'av v'lo min Ha'im, only from the father, but different mothers. Avkam min Ha'av v'lo min Ha'im, so too when it comes to brothers mentioned by Yibam, it means brothers from the father and not from the mother. So the Gemara said, wait a second, if you're using this Gzer Shev of Achu Achua, Leilef Achu Achua Me'arayos. So learn Achu Achua Me'arayos. So we've, I think, discussed a few times, but this is a great application. We have Gzer Shavas. That Gzer Shavah, the Gemara tells us, Ain Adam Dan Gzer Shavah Me'asma. A person cannot create his own Gzer Shavah. It's a Mesorah. You can't just make up your own. So if Gzer Shavah is a Mesorah, how could the Gemara here suggest, oh, why don't you use that Gzer Shavah to learn from Arayos? It's a Mesorah. Obviously, the Mesorah was to learn Achu Achua from Bnei Yaakov. You can't just suggest do another Gzer Shavah. So the idea might be, the Ramban mentions in his Shrashim that in his parish on the Shrashim of the Rambam, in the beginning of Yad Chazaka, Ramban writes there are different types of Gzer Shavas. There's always an element of a Gzer Shavah that does come from Mesorah, but not everything is told. We're not always taught the words, which sources, and what the halacha is. There are different elements. There's words, there's sources, and then there's halacha. So sometimes you only have one without the other. So here, apparently, the Mesorah was, we have a Gzer Shavah somewhere of Achua Achua. It says brother one place, it says brother another place. Now, the rest is up to you. You have to figure out which two places, and you have to figure out which two halachas. So that's the discussion. So why not learn Achua Achua min Harayos? And what would you conclude from there? You conclude, if you learn from Harayos, that just like Harayos, Rashi tells us, Me Harayos, Ervas Eishes Achicha, the person cannot be with the wife of your brother. V'kai malon l'kam v'perek ha'ba'a yivamota daf nunhei dafil achicha min ha'em v'lo min ha'av. Even your brother from your mother only, a half-brother from your mother, even his wife would be usher to you as well. So we see in the world of Arayos, brother means a brother from the mother. So why don't you learn from there? Just like the Arayos, brother means from the mother, so too brother by Yibam should also be perhaps from the mother and not necessarily from the father. So Gemara says, not a good gzer shava, because donim achim me'achim vein donim achim me'achicha. If you look at the pasuk, it doesn't say achim by Arayos, it says achicha. So we want to be exact. Achim achim is a gzer shava. Achim achicha are two different words. Gemara says, is that so problematic that the words are not exact? My nafkamino, who cares? In other words, ha tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. There's this brisa which Gemara must quote in 15 places in Shas, that you see the Mesorah Shas quotes. Like eight of them, nine of them. So the Gemara says, "V'shava kohen uva kohen." We have a gzer shava. This is talking about mitzorah that the kohen returns and the kohen comes back, meaning zohi shiva, zohi bia. This is the returning. This is the coming back. So that's a gzer shava. The Rashi doesn't explain to us what's going on here so much, but we find that there's a gzer shava. Even though these words shav and va are obviously not the same and they're very different, yet we still make a gzer shava even though the words are different. So what's the big deal? Achim achicha are closer connected than shav and va. So we find Gzer Shavas, even though the words are not exactly the same.
The bride doesn't include in the Shas?
The bride, what do you mean?
The bride, in general, that she said, we saw it in the bride, it's not included in the Shas?
Well, no, which? This,
in general.
A bride? No, the Gemara quotes brides all the time. When you see the word Tanya, yeah. Tanya and something, that means it's a bride. Mishnayos, are we see, well, no, the Mishnah is the beginning of each. You know,
where is the bride?
Where? We don't have a safe for listing all the brides. They just knew. They had a whole Mesorah for the Brises. So when the Amoraim were discussing back and forth, they'd say, oh, remember that Brisa that we knew by heart, it says this, and they'd bring this Brisa.
Oh, it doesn't mention anywhere else in writing?
We have no book of Brises.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's part of the Mesorah.
It's another book that was not included in the Gemara.
No, it's a... They used to memorize Mishnahs and Brises. So Mishnahs, where everyone agreed that the Mishnahs was accepted. Brises, that certain ones were accepted, certain ones weren't. Not everybody knew all Brises by heart. Sometimes that's why you have machlokas, and someone will say, oh, there's a brisa that says that. So they'll respond, well, itanya tano. Okay, if it's a brisa, it's a brisa. I can't argue in the brisa. Not everybody knew the brisas, but everyone knew the mishnayos. So not every brisa was accepted also. So some say, oh, that brisa is a mishtabish, is a one that wasn't part of the Torah. That's not accepted. Okay, so the Gemara says now, so again, what's the problem? Achin me'achicha should be a very good gzer shava, just like we have the gzer shava of shava koin uva koin. So Gemara says no. Hani mile, when do we allow for gzer shava when the words are different, like shava koin uva koin? When do we tolerate such a gzer shava? Hani mile hecha deleka mide dedamile. That's when we have no other similar word. So, but when you have options where something is more similar, so we'll go for the similar words. It was only by the case of Mitzorah, of Shavu Vakoin, we knew somehow, part of Mitzorah, that there's a Gzer Shava to be learned. We didn't know what the words were. So we looked around, we didn't find any good words. The best option we had was Uva Shav. So we had to settle for that. But when you have another situation where we know there's a Gzer Shava, and you're looking for the Gzer Shava, so we'd rather use the most exact as possible. Gemara says, okay, I'll find you another mention of achua, of achim. V'leilif achua, achua, melot. What does it say by lot? This is the Parsha Lech Lecha. Dichsev kianashim achim anachnu. We're brothers. Lot and Avram were brothers. They were cousins. They were relatives. So we're brothers. So in that context, so Gemara says, and therefore, what do we see there? They were brothers only beside the mother, I think, right?
I think we're trying to say, so therefore you should do Yibum on a nephew or an uncle's wife.
I see Rashi says that what you just said, Milot Kia Nashim Achim Anachnu, Vitisyabim Aishes Achi Aviv. You should perform Yibum on your uncle's wife, in other words, your aunt, but an aunt through marriage, that should be permitted. Sharei Ben Achiv Haya, because Lot was the nephew of Avram, and we refer to them as brothers, so Yibum should be allowed. Now we know that's the idea. We know Yibum only applies to actual brothers. But based on this concept of Avram and Lot referring to themselves as brothers, but they weren't brothers, they were uncle and nephews. So if uncle and nephews can be considered brothers, Yibum should be permitted also. A person should be able to perform Yibum on his uncle's wife if his uncle were to die, based on this pasuk. But we know that's not the case. We only permit Yibum by brothers, not by uncles and nephews. So that's the shaila we should learn here. Achim anachnu. So Gemara says, "Mistavret makes sense. Mibnei Yaakov havalei lemelech. We should learn from Yaakov why. Mishum demifne, because it's mifne. The word bnei of the words achim by Yaakov are extra. The mifne the extra, and if it's extra, that's telling us there needs to be a drasha here. Why the extra? Why the word extra? Mdavlei lemelech of the pasuk could have said by Yaakov, shnei masar avadecha bnei avinu. They could have said the brothers could have said to Yosef, we're twelve servants of yours. We're all the children of Avinu." B'nei Avinu. K'siv Achim. Why do you say Achim? We're brothers. If we're sons, obviously we're brothers also. Achim seems to be unnecessary. Shema Amina Lafnuye. There must be that the word Achim is extra. Once extra tells us that it needs to be a drasha. So that's why we made the drasha we learned from B'nei Yaakov. Now Gemara says, going back to the above case of Yibam. Itzach Michtav Achim Vitzach Michtav Yachtav. Going back to the pasuk that says, Ki Yashvu Achim Yachtav. That the need for Yibum only applies when both brothers are sitting, living in the world together. So why does it have to say both Achim and Yachtav together? So the Kasev Rachman Achim, if it just said brothers alone, Habamina Leilif Achu Achu Milot, I would have thought maybe to learn from Achua the Gzer Shava from Lot. Why is that? Yachtav comes to tell me you have to be brothers in terms of Nachla, have to actually be brothers from the father. And Lot and Avram were not brothers. They were called brothers, but they were not Nachla brothers. They were not together. They did not share in the Nachla. That's why you need Yachtav. Where I said, wait a second, how could you have a Havamina to learn from Lot? V'chitema lo mufne. So maybe you're going to say the word Achim by Lot is not mufne, it's not extra. Only if it's extra could you allow to learn a Gzer Shava from there. But the word Achim by Lot is not extra. Gemara says, lai afnui mifne. It is extra. How is the word extra by Lot? Midahavle lemichtav, it should have written by Lot, Roim uksiv achim. It says we're shepherds together. Why do they have to refer to themselves as brothers? Shema mina lafnuye. So it tells me that it was extra. The word achim by Lot is extra. So there is a havmina to think, learn from a Lot that a brother, a man and an uncle and nephew can perform yibum with each other's wives. Therefore, kas rachmana yachdav miyuchadim menachla. That's why the pasuk says ba'ibam achim yachdav, that they have to be unique, exclusive in terms of nachla, as opposed to a nephew and an uncle, avram elot, who are not miyuchadim menachla together. The kas rachmana, if the Torah had simply said ba'ibam yachdav only, habamina d'miyachde ba'abov ima, that they're miyachid both for father and mother. They shared both the same father and the same mother. But maybe one who just shared the same father but different mothers, maybe that would not be considered brothers. Therefore, you trichu, you need the word achim. No, even brothers that are only half brothers from the father would be sufficient. So the Gemara says, Vaha mehechit heisei yibum be'anachla talachmana. That's the question here with Rashi. So how do you know that it has to be nachla? Let's see, Rashi. V'ha mehechatesa dilema adim yachti v'abavim ima. Why would you think the habmina that you have to have both the same father and the mother? V'ha yibam benachla talya. Isn't yibam dependent on nachla? D'chsev yakum al shem achiv hames. That the brother should step in the shoes of his brother who had died. V'okminu l'kaman. Later on we tell us al shem achiv l'nachla. He steps into the shoes of his brother in terms of nachla. Like I said before, I guess, the brother who performs Yibam gets all the property, all the Yerusha of the brother who had deceased. And the other brothers do not get a share. So why is there such a habmina to think that you have to have both the same father and the mother? When it comes to Nachla, which we know already from Rashi, that Yibam is all about Nachla, Nachla only depends on the father, nothing to do with the mother. So why would you have a habmina to think they have to have the same mother as well? So let's read that in Gemara again. V'hal mechi teisi. How would you think that you need the same mother and father? Why is that a good havamina? Yibam benachla tala rachmana. The Torah depends yibam all on nachla. Benachla menaav v'lo menaim, and nachla is all dependent on a father, not a mother. So the Gemara says itzduch, you need it because sakadai tachamina. You would have thought hol v'chidushu d'gmeshtari erva gave. Since the whole concept of yibam is a tremendous chidush that we permit a erva, we permit the brother with a sister-in-law. So. Maybe you'd think, since it's such a great chiddush, so there's a chiddush also that maybe it needs to be a brother from the father and the mother. It's another chiddush. Therefore, we need the pasuk to tell me, as long as they're brothers in regards to nachla, namely having the same father, that's enough to be considered a brother for the purposes of yibum. Okay. Says the Gemara now, the end of the Gemara, even though it's very short, it's very, very important. These are very important sugyas right now. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Shemeres Yavam, Shemes. What's a Shemeres Yavam? The woman, the widow, who's waiting, Shemeres, she's guarding, she's waiting for the Yavam, her brother-in-law, to perform Yibam. What's her status in that period of waiting? Shemeres Yavam, Shemes. Now she dies before any Yibam or Chalitz is performed. Mutter Bi'ima. The brother is permitted to marry that now widow who's now dead, her mother, the mother-in-law, is permitted. Her mother. Because no marriage was ever taking place. So Reuven dies. Shimon is supposed to perform Yibam with the wife, but nothing was done. She's called Shemeres Yavam. Now Shemeres Yavam dies. Shimon can marry the mother of the Shemeres Yavam.
She is considered his mother-in-law too.
I shouldn't say mother-in-law, you're right. Reuven's mother-in-law, but I won't say that. Shimon can marry the widow who's now dead, her mother, because they never got married. No Yibam was ever performed.
Even if the marriage is married? Even if the mother is married?
No, that's really not. Yeah. So we see from here, the Gemara concludes, Alma, we see from here, Kesavar ain't Zika. There's no Zika. There's no connection of Shimon to the widow. Because had there been a connection to Zika, then that the mother would be Aser. So it must be that there is no Zika between Shimon and the Shemeres Yavam. So Gemara says, okay, instead of saying that Shemeres Yavam who dies is mutter to marry the mother, why don't you be clear and just say, V'lema halacha kidivei homer ain't Zika. Just say, the halacha is in accordance with the opinion that there's no Zika. Much clearer than having to figure out Shemeres Yavam and what's the reason by it. Just say there's no Zika. So Gemara explains, Ihava Amar Hachi, if I simply had said there's no Zika, Hava Mina, Hani Mili Betray, I would think maybe that's only by two. Let's say there are two brothers, there's Shimon and Levi, so you can't draw Zika to both them. So maybe when there's two brothers, there's no Zika. But Aval Bechad Yeshika, maybe there's one brother, it's only Shimon, and there's no other brother to perform Yibam, maybe in that case there would be a Zika. So Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you a clear way to say it. Lema say, halacha kedivrei ha'omer ein zika afil b'chad. Say that we hold the halacha is that there is no zika, even in the situation when there's only one brother alive, even then there's no zika. And that would be very clear. If we said that way, I would think even in the Mechaim, even if the woman, the widow, is still alive, there is no Zika. But that's not true. Only after she dies is there no Zika. The Zika is severed, and he can marry her mother. But while the Shemeres Yavam is still alive, there is a Zika. There is a connection between the two. And it would be awesome for her to be with anybody else. And that's what we have to teach. And Mishum Da'asu Levatel, Mrs. Yavamim. And Rashi explains, Das Levatel, that V'inasiv Ima, if he were to marry her mother while she's alive, Michaim, Mevatel Mitzel Lagamre Me'ibim Mechalitza, he would undercut and undermine the whole concept of Yivam. So that's what comes out. Let's review for a second. So according to this first opinion, Shimon, Reuben dies, and then Shimon is left as a Yavam to the widow. Now, there is, during the lifetime, there is some level of Zika, small Zika, according to his opinion, whereby if he were to marry her mother, he would be undercutting the Zika, which was not a good thing. He's mevatel mitzvah. He's not violating an iser, but he's mevatel the mitzvah aseh of performing either yibum or chalitza. But after she dies, and there's no yibum performed, the complete connection is severed, and he's allowed to, lechachila, marry the mother. That's all according to this first opinion. I think there might be some important rashes here. We do have some time, actually. Let me quickly go through this. Maybe not. There are some important terminologies that Rashi uses in comparing it to marriage or not marriage. Okay, let's go to the next piece. Gemara quotes now the Mishnah, Tanan. The Mishnah says, this Mishnah comes up later on in the Masechta, Yivamto Shemesa Mutter Bachoso. So Yivamto Shemesa. So his Yivama, which is another way of saying the Shemeris Yavam, the widow who's waiting for the Yavam to perform Yibam, if she dies, so Shimon now is mutter to marry her sister. It's similar to the case above. Just like he can marry her mother, he could also marry her sister. Bachosa in Ba'imalol. Gemara is medayik. Oh, it says only he can marry her sister, but he can't marry her mother, which goes against what he said above. Gemara says, Hu adin da filu bima. Also, even the mother, of course. Why would you say only the sister could be married, but not the mother? Even the mother. So why does the Mishnah specify only the sister and does not mention the mother? The Gemara says, "I did the Tana Reisha Yishto Shemesa Mutar Bachoso." Since the Reisha of that Mishnah said that the Yishto that dies, he can marry her sister, because when a person's alive, you can't marry two sisters. But if you marry a sister and that sister dies, then you can marry her other sister.
Only the sister.
Right. The Chiddush is that the Mishnah's focus was sisters. There, it's telling us that only during the lifetime of one's wife you cannot marry her sister. But if one's wife dies, then you can marry her sister. That's the focus of the Mishnah. So we're talking about sisters. So once the Reisha is talking about sister, so again, I did the Tana Reisha Ishto Shemesa Mutter Bachosa. Bachosa ain't about Bimalo. But the person whose wife dies, one cannot marry her mother even after her death. Lo. The Havilei Isur Deraisa, that's Isur Deraisa. Therefore, Tana Nami Seifa Mutter Bachosa. The Mishnah kept it in the same family. We're also mentioning sisters also. That if the Shomeres Yavam dies, one can marry her sister. But Huadin, you can also marry her mother. That's what we're learning from the Mishnah. But the only reason why I mentioned sister is mutter is because the Reish was about sister, not mother. So we also mentioned sister in the Seifa. But Ein Echanami in the Seifa, a mother would also be included in the Heter. Okay. Says the Gemara now. Rav Yehuda Amar. Rav Yehuda now argues. Rav Huna above in the name of Rav says, one thing, Yehudamar Shemeres Yavam Shemesa Aser Bima. If the Shemeres Yavam, the widow of Reuven, who now dies before Yibam Achalitza is performed, then it's actually Aser to marry her mother. Ah, why? But Shimon never married. He never performed Yibam to his sister-in-law. So why should her mother be Aser to him? Mark explains, Alma Kasavar Yesh Zika. He's of the opinion that there is Zika. There is this connection, this automatic connection between Shimon and the sister-in-law. Even though they never got married and never did Yibam, that connection is so strong that it does aser Shimon to the widow's mother. Look at Rashi at the bottom, two lines from the bottom. Yesh Zika, he writes, Zika Zibum Havye kiknusa. Very interesting language. It's kiknusa as if they are married. Ve'oseres ima ahayava mishim chamoso, and makes her into a mother-in-law.
And is that for all the brothers, or just the oldest brother?
It's a good question also. Whether, right. I go back to Reish Lakish from Yochanan.
The question is, the Zika is chal on all of them? Only on all of them?
That's what you just said, exactly. Is it the oldest who is the primary candidate for performing Yibum?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. I never learned Yivam Masin. I don't know. These are all good questions. I wish, hopefully, one day I will, but. Okay.
What do you mean you would never learn? You did see him already a few times.
No, not Pein. I never learned all the Rishonim.
But six times already, you're supposed to know it.
Supposed to. How have I? So the Gemara says, "V'leima halacha k'divrei homer yeshika." So why not just simply say, like we said above, to say the halacha is in accordance with the opinion of yeshika. Very clear, there is zika. Why not say that? Ihava amar hachi. Had we just said that there is zika, we pass in that way. Ihava mina. I would have thought hanimina b'chad. That's only when there's one. When there's only one brother, then you could say that there is zika because there's no other choice. Aval betray. When there's two brothers, maybe you would say ain't Zika. Maybe there shouldn't be no Zika in that case because it's possible that the younger brother might perform Zika, not the older brother. So maybe there shouldn't be any Zika.
So this is to our question, basically.
This is?
No, why not? So maybe if there's one or two women.
Two brothers.
Neighbor,
yeah.
Oh, two brothers?
Yeah, two brothers, yeah. That's what I thought, yeah. Okay. So Gemara says, V'haki pligi betray pligi? Well, wait a second. Weren't they arguing in the case of two? We have the machlokas apparently later on. They argue even in the case of two, the machlokas of yeshika. So there can never be a havamina that there is no zika by two. There's
how come we didn't discuss them till now? Is the zika is for everybody or only for one? Or the ibum or whatever it is, or the chalitza. Is it valid to all brothers or only the brother or the oldest? How is that's, yeah.
There's so much to talk about, and it's...
That's,
100 plot. Don't worry about it.
You get that, you say. Gemara says, so it can't be that. It can't be such a havamino. So El Gemara says, Iyamar, if you're going to say as follows, halchi havamino, you would have thought, we'll just go two lines down. If you said the halacha is that yesh zika, that there is zika, havamino, mechaim, I would think only mechaim, only when both parties are alive, namely the brother and the widow are still alive. Aval achar misa, but maybe after the widow dies, she never gets married. Maybe the zika is severed completely, and therefore he would be mutter to marry her mother. The zika b'chdi lo paka. Zika b'chdi, with nothing, doesn't go away. You need to do a maisa, chalitza, to undo the zika. But if no yibum, no chalitza is done, it can't just go away, and the mother-in-law would be therefore aser. Okay. Yeshkach.